Hey, this is Gerald Fia's your relationship guru, and you're listening to Cut to the Chase.
Stepping out beyond boundaries takes courage and the ability to dream. We are excited to share our new audio podcast called Cut to the Chase. The structure of this podcast embodies open dialogue with friends, family, and professional colleagues, talking about things that impact our ability to thrive. We hope that you will join our unscripted, unbridled podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Cut to the Chase, episode entitled Where to Start. So, to our listeners today being the first day of February, represents a real significance time in history, in tradition, in respect, in quality, compassion, ethics. Today's the first day of Black History Month. And so I know that our nation has been ripped apart and torn, and we've got differences of opinions, and we've got all of these just kind of nasty things going on in the world today. But overall, we have to figure out how to bring forth unity and togetherness in a way that unifies us as human beings and as mankind. And so the topic we're going to be talking about today is from a dear friend who was recommended through another dear friend to be a featured guest on our podcast. Hence the reason where to start. Because if you don't know where to start, think about the quote that I'm getting ready to recite. Think about the words and how they come across in your mind as you're thinking about all the things that are going on, not only in your life, but in society and in our culture, and what are you going to do about it? And the quote starts out like this: when one door closes, another one opens. It can bring a lot of promises along. Sure, you might be nervous about whatever the outcome is, but it is sure to take time and stock of what you're leaving behind and then look ahead. Take a moment to ponder about the gratitude and think some happy thoughts about things that you've experienced. Tally the lessons and learn to think about how you can apply them in a new and exciting opportunity, endeavor, job, life-changing, whatever it may be, because understanding where to start means starting now. It means taking action today. And so to our listeners, our featured guest is someone that obviously I have a lot of respect for, because certainly he has taken it upon himself throughout his career and really taken this to heart to really understand where to start. Our featured guest today is a business consultant. He's a motivated speaker. Business strategist. He's a life coach and a professional tennis coach. He started his career in the financial service back in 2006. Before that, his first job was bagging groceries at a local grocery store at the age of 15. Fast forwarding to 2009, when the stock market crashed, he began his career, which was firing on all cylinders at the right moment when he was engaged and basically was having his first little girl. He knew he had to do something, and he had to do it fast. Somehow, tennis fell in his lap. Watching older Caucasian gentlemen playing tennis in the back of his neighborhood, he went out there for weeks just to spend time gazing and understanding. And finally, he got enough calls to ask them how to play. He started playing and did real well and got certified as a coach. And so, as I've said, you know, he's a life coach. He's a professional tennis coach. He's a brand ambassador. He also holds a Bachelor's of Business Administration and Management from the University of Wesley, Australia. His passion is deeply rooted in the homeless and also in the imbalance of minority treatment in a financial, socialistic, and global society. He's also passionate about Buddhism and spiritually meditates quite often. He also loves classical music. And so our featured guest today, as I said, is someone that has really taken a stance on where to start. He is a minority. He's a friend. He comes by way of recommendation. And without further ado, I'd like to introduce to our listeners today, Mr. Gerald Fierce. Gerald, do you have any opening remarks?
Yes, I just want to say thank you for having me on this amazing platform. And I'm just excited to share with your guest what I feel is really important on getting started, on where to start. So yeah, thanks for having me, and I'm just excited to share.
Well, thank you very much, Gerald. We're certainly delighted to have you on board and to talk about something that is so paramount right now, because we've all gone through literally everything that it seems like the world can throw at us, and I mean that literally for everybody. If you're living on this planet, you've experienced, whether it's the social uprise and injustice or COVID or financial setbacks, lost jobs or whatever, but you still have to have the right mindset in order to continue and understand where to start. So since everyone is going through these changes, Gerald, one of the questions that I want to start this dialogue with is, where do you start when you have so many things coming at you all at the same time? And obviously in your situation, you know, from your prior experience, you know, you went through the stock market crash, you went through all of these crazy things. How did you begin to start back over and get yourself back on track?
Wow, what a great question, Gregory. I think for me, I had to really look at, take a second and look at what really mattered. After everything got taken away as far as accolades and future success, you know, I really had to just look at what's important to me right now. There is so much focus on the next day, on tomorrow. I would encourage everyone to just remember this, that for me, the focus was right now. This moment is the reality. And that's one of the biggest takeaways for me that I got from that crash, is that there's no living for tomorrow, because right now is your tomorrow. So really focusing in on, who am I today? What would I like to look at as far as things that excite me? What two or three things am I interested in? What piques my interest? Because a lot of times when these moments happen of calamity, when people lose their jobs, they've been misplaced, so on and so forth, they really don't have an idea of who they are internally. So using this quiet time, using this empty space, so to speak, to just really say, what are some things I'm interested in? What are some things that really get me excited? And out of those things, just kind of really look at a few, one or two that really call out to you. Something that, you know, you go to sleep and you're like, you know, I'm excited to get up and do that tomorrow. So I would say really focusing in on the present moment really takes the anxiety away from tomorrow. And then it gets rid of yesterday as well, because you're living in the moment, which is all you really have.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, we certainly appreciate you sharing that with us. You know, those are quite some inspiring words, and certainly I can certainly just, you know, feel myself kind of embracing a lot of that, because like you stated, when you start to kind of ponder about what's getting ready to happen 5 years from now or 2 years from now, you don't really focus in on the present. And sometimes the present, I mean, it's in and then it's gone. And so you have to live in the now. And it kind of brings me to a point that I want to mention, is that there's so much going on in the now right now, particularly from a technological standpoint, from a social media standpoint, that sometimes you don't really understand whether it's actually truth or fad or fake or whatever word you really want to utilize, because people put on a lot of different personas, you know, to say this is where they are, you know, in life. And sometimes those things have to be looked through to really kind of transcend where the real message is. And I think, you know, one of the points that I want to bring up here is, you know, as a father and as a dad, you know, probably the same sentiments that you went through in life. I also went through them in life when I had my first child, my first baby girl. And it was like, okay, you know what? I've got to basically get out of the mode of basically thinking that I'm going to do things a certain way. Now I have another life that I've brought forth, that I've created to bring into this world now that requires nurturing, coaching, guidance, so forth and so on, spirituality. But it was hard, you know, it was hard because, you know, one can't just think about himself or herself. You've got to think about that other life. And so when you were in that moment and you had to think about, like I said earlier, the market has crashed. Now you've got a little girl. I mean, what were some of those things that emotionally were captivating you and driving you in the right essence to succeed so that your little girl would have the ability to look up to her father?
Wow. I really just took a look at it and says, okay, all right, if this is what's happening, then it can't end like this, right? This isn't my life. This is a moment in time. This is a life situation, you know, and sometimes, and that's the thing. Sometimes we take our life situation and then we turn around and then make it our story. Right. So I wasn't interested in making the stock market my story. I was more interested in understanding that, OK, this is a situation that I have to get myself out of. I have to figure out a way. I have to dig deeper. I have to look at some different options that I may have not wanted to look at before. I decided to be open for what if. What if there's possibilities somewhere else? What if I'm overlooking, you know, different opportunities? So just understanding that my and your life situations, it doesn't have to turn into your story. So being diligent and understanding that as long as I was alive, as long as I, you know, had some type of tenacity, that I could pull myself out of this, I could get to the other side. So the biggest thing for me was just not holding on to that situation and claiming it as my story. I didn't want a pity party for myself. I just wanted to get it done and move on to the next chapter. And that's the biggest part is as long as you're waking up in the morning, you have another day to figure it out. You have another day to see what if, what are the possibilities? So I could say for me, that's exactly what I was thinking. I was like, I got to get on the other side of this.
Yeah, I commend you for that because, you know, a lot of people that listen to this podcast that try to gain inspiration on some of the narrative and the context that we put together, you know, some of them have fallen off the cliff. You know, some of them are really trying to rebuild. Some of them have hit rock bottom and they find that, you know, this becomes therapy to them when they listen to other people that have gone through, whether it's a tumultuous experience or a reset or a pause in her life. And I think you stated very eloquently with regards to the fact that, you know, how do you get on the other side of this? And a lot of times when you start to consider that you've got baggage from the past, when you've got things that are staring you down here in your future, and you're just trying to figure out, you know, how are you going to live? How are you going to survive? You know, like you said, you've just got to break it down into small pieces and kind of manifest a way in your mind to say that you're going to get through this because, you know, ultimately we all have those experiences in our lives, whether they're good or bad. I mean, everything's just not given to us on a silver spoon or a silver platter. And therefore we have to basically go through the process. And sometimes that process can be rough. It can be a burden, but that process allows for you to basically become the wholesome individual that you are once you get on the other side of it, because it becomes a lesson. It becomes a part of your journey.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. I wanted to just say this because it just reminded me of something. I actually, that's when I started to really dive into personal development. I really started to look at, okay, if I didn't have people and places and things around me that were resemblance of the success that I wanted, okay, did someone write a book about, you know, how to overcome this? Did someone do a podcast on
you know, how to manage stress or whatever, you know. So I started to understand that, okay, if I didn't have the answers, was I bold enough to go and seek the answers from people that have already did the work, who's already put in the 10,000 hours, right? Mm-hmm. And so that was another humbling part for me, is like, okay, obviously you don't know what you don't know. And obviously you don't know a lot. And understanding that and saying, okay, how could I really, you know, speed up this learning curve of getting to the other side? And for me, personal development was so, so key in helping me understand that obviously there is another side, and to get there as quickly as possible.
Sure, sure. Absolutely. And of course, you took the action. I mean, that really is what it comes down to, is, you know, when you have that question in your mind, when you're looking at that person in the mirror every morning, and you're basically saying, you know, I'm stuck in a rut, what am I going to do differently? You've got to take that action. You've got to conscientiously make that decision to basically understand that, you know, this is where you're going to start. Of course, we all have to pivot. We all have to be agile and flexible. And sometimes, you know, it doesn't really go according to plan. But as long as you're moving, you know, you have to be moving in the right direction. And so, Gerald, you know, there's a lot of other things I want to talk to you about, because you have such a unique kind of blended experience. And, you know, I really want to jump into a couple of things to kind of share with our listeners with regards to the fact that, you know, your observation before you became a certified professional tennis coach, that observation was rather interesting to me, because, you know, the fact of the matter is that you watched and you observed, which is, you know, along the same lines of what we've been talking about, you know, finding the literature, finding the nurturing of the educational strength to get you to where you want to be. And in this particular case, you watched and you observed, and then later on, you aspired to become a professional tennis coach. So my question to you is, what was it about tennis that drove you to that attraction?
Wow, no one's ever asked me like that before. Wow. What was it about tennis? You know, it's funny. And I forgot to tell you this. I played football originally in high school. And so I was looked at by a couple of colleges to get recruited, but I injured my knee during practice. It wasn't even like on field, which is like the most embarrassing injuries as a, you know, as an athlete you can have, is off field. You're like, so what happened? You got hurt off field, right? So after that was kind of wiped away, I didn't even look at sports. And I don't know, tennis called to me in a way that was unseen. There was something about all the different moving parts, right? I loved things that up front looks a certain way, but behind the scenes, there's so many moving parts. And that's to me what tennis represented. It was like, okay, it represented a part of me. It's like, yes, you see this one piece of me, but then there's so many moving parts. And I felt like mentally, emotionally, and physically, tennis was something of like I'm a chess player. I love chess. And it seemed to me that it wasn't just a one trick pony type of deal where, you know, someone throws the ball and they catch it, or someone kicks the ball and you kick it back. It's like, no, it's way more than that. And so I think the strategy aspect of it, the mental toughness aspect of it mixed in with physical toughness, it was just all these variations that stood out to me that said, okay, I want to look a little deeper into this tennis thing. What is this? And so I think that's what it was. It was just kind of like a Swiss Army knife of a sport, you know? And I was like, okay, this seems really cool. So for me, I think that's what it was. It was just so many different variations that it excited me. I'm a huge learner, and I'm a voracious reader, and I really love information. And so to me, tennis had so much information, you couldn't even figure it out in, you know, one sitting. And so that's what it was for me. It was just like, okay, this was, you know, pretty polarizing.
Sure. Yeah. I have a gentleman that, he still works for me, but, back in his heyday, he was, back in Utah, I believe is where he was from. Kind of a state champion, and went on to play some college, tennis as well. And, you know, I just remember, you know, his stories as we would have time, you know, on various projects, just kind of congregating in fellowship, and what he'd share, you know, the importance of tennis and what he saw and what it brought to his life, and, you know, everything that, that really kind of struck, you know, a chord with him, you know, for the love of the game. And, it was always intriguing to me because, you know, it's one of those things where I think I've only met few and far between people that, that really aspire, besides the people that have gone on to be extremely successful, such as your Serena Williams and Venus Williams, you know, those sisters, that really kind of have a love for the game, you know. And I don't play myself, you know, maybe that's one of those things that certainly we can talk about at a later time, but it's interesting to me. I've just never really stepped out there to be able to hit the ball back and forth, you know, across the net, and really kind of, you know, find that, that interest, you know. But, that's great stuff, man. We certainly love seeing, as I would say, us and our community, you know, crossing over and ensuring that there's a way for us not only to have an ability to have a love for the game, but also to have the ability to set the stage for those of us to follow. And so my next question to you really kind of gets into, I think, something that you've identified as a passion, you know, something that is very deeply rooted with the fundamentals of, you know, the inequality and the balance of minorities and the treatment from a financial and socialistic perspective. Talk to me a little bit about that. Why is that so important to you?
Wow. Greg, could you expound on that just a little bit?
Yeah. So, you know, one of the things that I kind of was interested in understanding is the fact that we have seen a lot of imbalance of not only power and in our socialistic society, where you've got, you know, certain class ethnicities that are just controlling the dynamics. You know, if you look at a lot of things that are going on in the news right now, you look at, you know, what's happening with GameStop and what's happening with the Stock Exchange Commission and what's going on with the trading. But, you know, the fact that us as minorities in our own community and what we're trying to do and how we're trying to advance ourselves, what would you consider to be a part of that imbalance that we're seeing, and how we're being mistreated, you know, as it's being shown and publicized from a financial and from a social perspective in the world today?
Wow. Yeah. I'm glad. Thank you so much for that. Yeah. I think it's absolutely, it's very saddening and sickening to feel that we still are living in a country to where, I think LeBron said it best. He said, you know, when we saw the raid on the Capitol, we saw two different Americas, mm-hmm. right? And I think that's the most disheartening part for those of us of color who are trying to better ourselves, who are trying to position ourselves in a legal and ethical way to set up family legacies and dynasties as those predecessors before us. But mm-hmm. it's very difficult when you are locked out of financial institutions for those loans to stabilize, you know, our economies and create, you know, wealth and an economy for us as people. It's not something that's happening in your face. This is a lot of behind the scenes type of inequality that mm-hmm. we're witnessing, and it's very disheartening to feel like we're still living in that space to where, you know, that's happening. It feels like, you know, we've came so far, but yet we still have such a long way to go. You know, it's like there's this polarization to continue to light the fire on division. You know, mm-hmm. I feel like the moment that everyone realizes that all of us are the same, the quicker we can come together and actually make a bigger change. But the issue is that the blinders are on, because, you know, people are still under the
the mirage of, if you don't look or sound or eat or pray the way that I do, then me and you shouldn't be involved on any level. And it's the most ridiculous ideal that we as human beings have adopted. It's yep. just, it's sad, you know, and that shows our reptilian brain, that shows the fact that we have evolved in technology and other aspects of life, but there's some places that we haven't evolved and we are still struggling and needing to figure that out. And it's caused a lot of displacements with us as humans, and especially those of us who are of color, who've witnessed this the most, you know? So I hope that answers your question. Yeah,
absolutely. Absolutely. I think it's always good, you know, particularly as you've stated, you know, there's so many misconceptions, there's so many things out there that just, you know, at the end of the day, they just don't make sense. I mean, for where we are as a nation and as a country. But, you know, to keep it rather simplistic, you know, I was brought up never to kind of view color or anything like that, even though I was born and raised in Mississippi in the heart of, you know, kind of the, you know, social unresting and racism and all of those different things that are going on. But, you know, my family was Christian. They were, you know, very ethical, middle class, and just the simplicity of the fact that, hey, you know, when you're given an opportunity, it doesn't matter if it comes across to you from a black, white, blue, or green. You know, you have a choice to either make the right decisions going forward and utilize that to benefit you and your family, or you choose fit to stay in the frame of mind that allows for you to kind of, you know, not necessarily advance. And I know that these things go on, and I don't want people to say, well, Greg, well, wait a minute. You know, there's kind of a misconception around that. The only misconception around the statement that I've just stated is the fact that when I started my first company up, and this is probably the first time I'm going to share this on public air, but the first time I started my first company up, well, let's be realistic. This was back in 2004. You know, the industries that I was working in, they were predominantly, you know, Caucasian, you know, leaders. And so here it is, you know, I'm a small business individual, you know, minority, walking into these multi-billion dollar corporations. And right out of the gate, you would have people go, well, what do you mean this is the guy that's going to help us? And of course, you know, the people that recommended us and provided us, you know, the opportunity were like, yeah, this is the guy. This is the guy. You got a problem with that? And so it was always intriguing to me that from the first time that happened to me, I said to myself, this is where I'm going to start, but this is not where I'm going to end. And what I meant by that was a simplistic aspect of the fact that it doesn't matter what I look like or how I look like or whatever the appearance is. It's not that I went in looking like a slouch. We're always professionally dressed and so on. But at the end of the day, I knew one thing. And that one thing was, is that you're hiring me for my brain power. You're hiring me and my company for our ability to save your hiney in the circumstances or situation that you're in. You're hiring us because we're the best in the game, at least back at that time. We were, you know, at the top of our game, the most elite crew out there. You're hiring us because the level of accuracy and sophistication in dealing with the financials and the schedules and all the things to align with the government auditing system, we're the number one company to be able to do that. So when I started putting that all into the context, I knew at that point in time is that coming into any situation that I was working in back during that era is that, number one, I'm a visionary. Number two, I don't have to be here if I don't need to be here because it's a choice. And if you don't want me to be here, then that's your prerogative. That's your problem. We can leave and you can still be in the same situation that you're in today, with the problem that doesn't have an answer or solution. And so for me, the starting point was when I captivated my mindset. And like I said earlier, switching from an employee state to owning my own company and understanding that I am a visionary type person. I am here to render a service. And if you want that service, we can execute. If you don't want that service, we can get on a plane and leave. And so the fallacy of all of this is that, for me, I look back at everything that I was taught, and I brought that, played it forward in a manner that, you know, most people look at me today and they go, we still don't understand how you had so much success. But if that's your story, that's your story. Well, it's not saying that I didn't deal with inequality or racism or so forth and so on. These things did happen. It is how I choose to allow for them to impact my life and how I choose to let them, divert me from what the overall goal was. And so, you know, I stayed true to what I knew was most important. And that was, hey, I've got a family. I've got things I need to do to move forward in life. This is a part of it. You know, I'm going to, you know, not feed into that negativity or that energy and then move on. And I gained a lot of respect in the Department of Energy markets for many, many years. We're talking like several decades of total respect in that industry, primarily because, you know, I didn't put up with it, you know, and people respected that because they said, hey, if you're going to deal with this guy, you leave, you check your biases at the door. And that was always a good mantra to go by. If you bring this guy in, make sure you check your biases at the door because he's not going to put up with it. And if it comes out in a way that is hateful or negative, then him and his team are on a plane and you're basically SOL, out of luck. So just figured I'd share that with you there, you know, with regards to, you know, kind of adding, you know, a little bit of my own take onto the overall story. So Gerald, we are almost out of time and have a few takeaways you'd like to leave with our listeners.
Yeah, absolutely. I would say don't try to avoid the present moment. I think the moment, for most people, they need to realize that the moment that you get out of this moment and you start thinking about something else, that's when the anxiety happens. That's where the pressure starts. Because suffering for a lot of people, it makes them feel better because they know it so well. And so I can encourage people not to dive into the anxiety of any of your issues. You need the next moment. You're thinking about the next moment because you're not present in the one that you have. Right. Understanding the power of the present moment is so vital, especially when it feels like there's so much anxiety about the future. Just know when you take your eyes off the current moment, that is where the anxiety happens. That is where the pressure comes. Live in this current moment because that is all you have. This is your life. This moment you're living at this very moment, as you breathe, as you hear this. This is your life. There is no future life. There is no past life. You only have the moment that you're in. So live it up, ingest it, and really, really dive into this moment and be present. Be present with yourself. Be present with those who are around you. Make sure that, you know, you're telling the people around you that you love them because you just don't know. And that's the biggest takeaway. You don't know. So be present, be in this moment and live it to its fullest because that is your life. Your life is right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally, totally agree. Totally, totally agree. Well, Gerald, this has been a good opportunity for us to get to know you and obviously gain some insight about you and basically, you know, this subject matter, where to start. Yes, sir.
Can I tell them where to find me? You can reach me at an Instagram for sure.
Yep. Yep. Oh, that was going to be my next question.
Oh, go. You're like, I know how to lead this. Thank you, sir. Take it away, Greg.
No worries. Yeah. You know, Gerald, we were going to ask, certainly, you know, since you are a business consultant, a motivator speaker and life coach, you know, how can people get in contact with you? Is there a website, email address, IG account? You know, what would be the best social media platform for them to reach out to you?
Absolutely. For sure. Instagram obviously is ideal. 3D Global World. 3D transformation. And also as far as email, it's 3DLifeCoaching@gmail.com.
Perfect, perfect, perfect. Well, again, like I said, we certainly appreciate your time and willingness to participate and cut to the chase. We hope that this was an enjoyable experience for you to engage with us. It was well worth the numerous of times that we've been trying to balance our two schedules out to connect. And I think this is going to go off very well with our listeners. And to all of our listeners that are with us right now at this moment, obviously the importance of where to start is to take action. And just remember, the difference between ordinary and extraordinary is that little extra. And sometimes you need that little extra to get you over the hump. And so without further ado, this has been episode entitled Where to Start. I'm your host, Gregory Proctor. Thank you very much, everyone. God bless. Be safe. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks for tuning in to Cut to the Chase. Stay connected with us on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and LinkedIn at Cut to the Chase. You'll also find even more great content on our website at www.k2tcpodcast.com. Thank you and catch you on the next episode.